Romy has wanted to, for a long, long time, to offer our listeners a premium subscription to where they can listen to the conversation going on during the break.
You need some water?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Oh, man.
Give the man some water, please.
Man, oh, man. That would have been a good break for everybody to tune into, I'll tell you.
And for Stan, who texted in, there's no way to change your power supplier without changing your residence. You have to identify
what district
where their
they
maps
serve.
Are. Yeah.
Right.
On that note, I've had several callers from TEP and Unisource and SRP. Do they have anything to be worried about?
Not at all.
Nope.
And if you're an SRP or Tucson Power and Electric, you can still super cool.
Okay. Well, let's get to some calls because we've got several.
As it seems. As goes APS,
right.
So goes the others.
The whole country seems to be going this way.
Yeah. Okay. It's the way it happened is what is just frying my frittles. Okay, let's bring Ted in from Sun City. Good morning, Ted. Line
Ted.
Three.
There you go.
There you go.
Come on. Three.
Good
there
morning.
We go.
Hey, yes. Ted. How you doing, my friend?
Good, thank you.
We're not getting
your show.
We're not getting your blood boiling, are we? It's just you know what? This is just
a
situation.
I've been on the phone with Senate representative for the state asking questions like, you know, why hasn't someone introduced or started an initiative to reintroduce competition in the power distribution business?
This may be it.
I mean, I'm trying to understand why that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But
we'll get Steve Kep on the Corporation Commission.
We'll just start. Steve Kep wants to go fishing.
Isn't that a state legislature kind of thing?
Well, we got to get him. We got to get him started somewhere.
To get it on the ballot.
Yeah.
People would certainly want that.
Well, yes.
The other question is whether solar is still viable, or whether a company like Solar City is that still worth looking at?
Okay, that's a great question. Does solar still make sense?
Yes, it substantially makes sense now.
It improves.
It improved because they've introduced demand-based rates that solar can take advantage of, generating expensive on-peak current, but then buying an off-peak very inexpensively, incorporating demand management equipment for that solar to deliver that. So essentially, if you put in a 5 kW system, it's going to perform financially for you like a 15 kW used to.
Yeah.
Meaning 3 months ago.
I just can't figure it out. APS was the one that built the program to kind of incentivize solar 10 years ago, and they were given rebates and credits and whatnot, and then a light bulb went on for them, and they said, well, wait, these people are all using our power and not paying for the distribution system. So then they went through the fight to change that program that goes back just a few years ago. And then they get this, and they're handing it right back to the solar rooftop producers, saying, here's your gift.
Yes, yes. And to answer the question, yes, solar is still very viable. It was unknown until they actually introduced the rates on the 19th, and you could actually do a calculation, but very viable. If you're dealing with a solar company that does not include demand management, because that's a requirement in SRP and APS, you need to find a different solar provider.
And you can find those at rosieonthehouse.com.
Absolutely.
Hint. Not all solar companies are created equal.
That's
for
right.
Sure. All right, let's see if we can get to Bob. He wants to talk about technology and new cooling. And I have a business model where I can now become a billionaire.
Yep.
On this plan. I'll share it with you in just a minute. But let's see what Bob has first.
Guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a quick question. Before I get into the technology, here in Tucson, they're charging $26 a month to read your meter. I would assume a meter reader can read 100 meters a day, so that would be $2,600 is what they're going to pay that guy to meet readers. Rosie, you and I have got to go on, and we'll read it for $1,000 a day, okay?
I'm in.
Mean, that is, just for that alone, we should vote those bozos out for doing that. $26 to read a meter. Yep, that's the way it goes.
I'll even provide my own vehicle.
Absolutely. Anyway, my technology issue is this. Chilled water or hydronic cooling heating is used in the West Coast a lot, but the technologies on the chillers have advanced to the point where hydronic or chilled water is starting to make sense. You can use advanced multi-stage evaporative cooling to take the water down to about 70 degrees for almost nothing compared to a, compressor system. Then if you have to, you can have an itsy-bitsy little air conditioner to give you another 2 or 3 degrees of boost. It's just a way of cascading using technology. And I just wondered if you've ever talked to anybody who's used advanced chilled water systems for residential use.
I have. And on top of that, there is another technology that's having a hard time getting off the ground, but they use it in the Middle East a lot, in the middle of the Sahara Desert. And it's geothermal cooling, where they do a closed loop, and your walls and your ceilings and your floors all have looped lines running through them that circulate down into a geothermal well and reach the temperature of Earth at 30 feet below the surface, and you circulate that liquid in your wall cavities, your floor cavities, your ceiling cavities, and it will keep a home, and as far as I know, we only have one of those homes currently built in Arizona, and that home stays at 72 degrees year round. How much does it cost him to do that? He has a 1/4 horsepower pump running. It's the same amount of power as it takes to light a 40-watt light bulb. He keeps his house at 72 year round.
Now, why isn't that more common? You've got to follow the money. You can't get a loan on that house.
The mortgage companies will not give you a
mortgage. They will not lend on a home in the desert that doesn't have central air conditioning on it.
That's right.
So you, again, are back in the same spot of putting completely off-the-grid solar. You've got to have $250,000 cash out of pocket to be able to afford this kind of lifestyle.
That's right. They do have geothermal heat pumps.
Yes.
Where they actually bring it up through the heat pump, and therefore you do have central air, and I've got a friend that does that.
All right. Let's see if we can go to David, Romy. We'll get through callers. If you've been trying to call, let me just tell you that since we started the show, every line has been full, but we've just cleared a couple. If you'd like to visit with us in a happy way, call us at 1-888-767-4348. Let's bring David into the conversation.
The last couple callers have mentioned that with this fee for reading the meter, most of that's not done by a meter reader. It's done wirelessly anyway. So it's really gravy money.
With the smart money conversion. That's the smart meter. I said smart money. That was just a little Freudian slip. I meant smart meter. Okay. All right. David, let me introduce you to Mr. Steve Kep.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, David.
We appreciate the info.
You bet.
I'm logged into my APS account, and I'm looking at the Saver Choice plan.
Yes.
And I'm curious. I was going to ask what the logic is, but I don't think there's much logic in this whole thing. But why the super off-peak energy charge is not available through the summer months?
Because in the summer months during that period of time, you'd be using that to air condition your home. But in the winter months, you're doing nothing between 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Nothing.
Yeah, it's a third tier of pricing that only applies during the winter.
Yes, and it's 3.2 cents a kilowatt hour, which is the least expensive kilowatt hour you can get. But who's going to do their laundry and cooking and everything from 10 o'clock till 3 o'clock?
That's when you need to do it.
Well, and it's really kind of people that have solar that select this rate, they can get on it. They're only offsetting a 3 cent kilowatt hour during the whole winter period when solar's producing 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock.
Okay. I want to get into the last caller who's saying, I got in my account and I started comparing it. You can go to your account, log in, and you can get an analysis of what the new rate is going to be at your house compared to what you've historically. And he was questioning the data there. I think you should.
Oh, yeah. I always say run your own numbers. Yeah. Don't depend on them.
What are you seeing there?
Well, you know, I have not done their rate comparison on my house nor your house yet. But I've dealt with the rate comparison chart because they've had it for a long time. And it's very inaccurate. I mean, they've had customers of ours, they said, you know, you'll save $8 for the year. When we got done with the customer, they were saving $800 a year. So the rate comparison chart, I have no confidence in whatsoever. But I can give you some numbers. A person using 3,000 kilowatt hours, so that's a 2,500 square foot home.
Yeah, maybe two air conditioners,
yeah,
swimming
two air
pool.
Conditioners. That's you, Rosie.
Yeah.
3,000. I'm in the 6,000 range, so we won't go there. But a person doing 3,000 kilowatt hours on the old time advantage, noon to 7, their bill would have been, if they were doing 90-10, super cooling.
Yep, yep.
90% off, 10% on. Their bill would have been $288. On the new Saver's Choice, which is the rate that's going to replace that, that same 3,000 kilowatt hours will be $443, from $288 to $443.
So the lesson learned there is don't. We've got to get this message out because, Steve, you and I got all these people on supercooling before May of next year. We got to get them all off of it.
Right. They need to make a selection of a different rate. Stop supercooling. It's not going to work for you. It used to be that you could do
this opportunity away from us.
Right. It's oils. It used to be a 5-to-1 cost difference. Now it's a 2-to-1. So supercooling doesn't have its impact.
Okay, let's ask Wayne here to come in and join us. He wants to talk about load controllers in general. Good morning, Wayne.
Oh, good morning, Rosie. Thanks for your program. Listen, I have a Pensar 2000. I've had it for 20-plus years, and I called the guys who installed it, and they said, well, you're kind of stuck. You can't be using your load controller that you have now with the new rate structure. In fact, he said, I'm not sure you can use any load controller in the future. So what's the story on load controllers and the new rate structure with APS?
Load controllers are healthy, doing better than ever. One's being installed with every solar unit in SRP, and one will probably be installed with every solar unit installed in APS. Rosie's got one. I've got one. If you look at those rate structures, the most cost-effective rate to be on is the Saver Choice Max, which is a demand rate. You're only paying 5 cents off-peak for a kilowatt hour, 8 cents on-peak for a kilowatt hour. Then you have the demand, which is what a load controller, which is an old terminology, is. A demand management system controls that demand for you at whatever level you want it to control at. So, quote, the old load controllers are well alive and doing well. Your Pensar 2000, you might be able to just put a timer on it, like a garden timer, and have it come on from 10 o'clock till 8 o'clock. It may work that way.
These are all the little things that we've got yet to figure out. Now, I'm not going to – I wasn't going to change until May. But you're – Steve, you're going to go ahead and change and start running your
absolutely.
House as a model so we can start outsmarting it and trying to figure out what to do.
Yes. The unknown is what we can do for shift and demand level because we lost 2 hours of on-peak time. So it should improve.
Back with Steve Kep right after this.